Okay, today I want to finish up our minig of beards. Just a few more small things to discuss. Yesterday we left off with one of the biggest proofs that you're allowed to shave. You're allowed at least to trim your beard is from a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that they compare the way we approach din to the way the nations of the world approach din. When a person has a day in court and his life hangs in the balance, he's in a state of mourning. He wears black clothing and he's terrified. He doesn't eat. He just is a state of terror. But Klal Yisrael have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, we dress in white clothing, we eat, we celebrate, and we shave our beards. Trim our beard. So it's clear from this Yerushalmi, you cannot get better than a Maim Chazal and the Gemara, that it's permitted to trim your beard. There's nothing legaleach zikonai. And we mentioned yesterday that not everyone, those that are very upset with this Yerushalmi, they have found for themselves another girsa, that it means legaleach zikonai, it means they go for a haircut, not for a beard trim. Now, there is such a tradition. This idea comes out in different days of the year, that every one of the mitzvahs, every day of the year, has a particular mitzvah. The classic example, it's probably the most well-known, is Tisha B'Av. Which mitzvah every day of the year? I don't know exactly how that's calculated. There are 365 loisaseis and 248 positive commandments. This goes back like a few months ago when there was this whole debate about the internet, about filters, and everyone. And so some people were complaining that why is everything always so negative? Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. You're teaching children the whole day, don't do. Why don't you teach children to do good things? Focus on the positive. This is an old dilemma, old debate. Like I remember when someone told me that parents have to sign off every night that their children did not watch television, did not go on the internet, did not play with their Game Boy, did not look at this, did not look at that. So the parent came in and said, I'm really fed up with this, signing off every single night, checking off and signing that my son didn't look this. Why don't you focus on what the child should look at? Have him look at Gedolim pictures. I don't know, figure out something, and I'll sign off that my son spent 5 minutes looking at this, doing positive things instead of focusing on the negative. Okay, so this is an old debate. So I once heard a speaker, I read an article of that, and he says, yeah, you're right, but you have to remember, you have to focus on the positive. You have to remember that in the Torah, there are more negative mitzvahs than positive mitzvahs. There are 365 things that the Torah says don't do. So it comes from Hashem. So you're right, it's not coming to your heart. There has to be a focus on the positive. But you can't forget, you have to also remember to focus on the negative as well. But in any event, there are 365 negative commandments. Each one of these negative commandments corresponds to one day of the year. And even though the Jewish year there is not 365, 354. But nevertheless, we do relate the solar year also has significance in the Jewish calendar. And there are 365 negative mitzvahs, 365 days. Each day of the year has a specific lo sase. It's popular, it's well known that Tisha B'Av corresponds to the Gid Hanoshe. Tisha B'Av is the day that the prohibition for a person to eat from the Gid Hanoshe is, that mitzvah appears on Tisha B'Av, because that represents when the Malach hit Yaakov in the thigh, he caused Yaakov to fall, he caused Yaakov to become weak. When did Klal Yisrael become weak? On Tisha B'Av, when we lost the Beis HaMikdash. If you look in the Svarim on Tisha B'Av, they always bring up this idea. I'll give you another example, Shavuos. Why is it the mitzvah to eat on Shavuos Basar B'Cholav, to eat milchiks on Shavuos, because they say that the prohibition of Lesevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo is that's the day that from the 365 days of the year, Basa B'Cholav is on Shavuos. And they really have to be careful not to have anything, not to mix the two together, and to show, to bring out that you should not mix the two together. We focus on Cholav. Yeah.
This philosophy, what do they do in a leap year? come with another
360 something days. Though how does it work in a regular year? Because in a regular year it also doesn't work. It's only 354. Right. The only 354 days in a regular year.
I'm talking about the solar calendar.
Oh, so it's one additional day. I don't know. I really don't. This is just, you know.
So based on that thinking, you should only meet.
Lo sevashel gidi b'chalev imo. So I think the answer is that we have both. You have to have meat on Yom Tov, but you also have to have it. But so what we do is to show that you don't have the two together. You have milchiks, and you're very careful to wait. Right, you milchiks, you have fleishiks, and you separate, and you're very careful to show the separation. That's the point. We think you only need milchiks. It's not so simple. You don't have milchiks because Yom Tov is a mitzvah to have bas of the ayin. So how you don't have milchiks? So some of the people, some say, it's not mechuyif to have boss for every single meal. You have it once a day, once in 2 days is good enough. Others say, no, like exactly what you said. You have to have both. But you have to have both. You have to be very careful. It's exactly the point. You want to show that you're makbid on the mitzvah of le sevashel, the prohibition of le sevashel gidi b'chalev imo, that comes into play. Why do we emphasize this on Shavuos? Because Shavuos is the day of le sevashel gidi b'chalev imo. Okay, those are two examples. If you'll go look every Yom Tov, you'll find this. If you look hard enough, you'll find that someone's going to talk about this. What is the mitzvah for this particular day? What's Chanukah? What is Purim? There is something to it. There are 365 days a year, approximately 365 Los Haseis. Every day has this particular Los Hasei. What is the Los Hasei for Erev Rosh Hashanah, or maybe it's Rosh Hashanah? So in these Svarim, these Sifrei Mekubalim, it says it's Los Hakifu Pa'as Rosh Chen. How can it make sense? Because Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh. Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh. Well, it's a very strange term. We're brainwashed into Rosh. It's not the appropriate year. Hascholas Hashanah, Tchilas Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, and we're brainwashed into using strange terms for the beginning of the year. But it corresponds to Lo Sakifu, the prohibition, do not shave off Pa'as Roishchem. So that's why it became the custom. That's the Vataysh to Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that what did people do on Erev Rosh Hashanah? They would go take beard trims. Why do you take a beard trim? Because you take a beard trim, you have to be careful. Only cut certain parts of the beard and don't cut other parts of the beard, because there are five corners on the beard. There's a potential to violate five prohibitions when you shave your beard. Be careful only to cut it in the proper way where you're not violating halacha. Make sure you have a kosher shaver or whatever you do is kosher to show that you're makbid on the loisase loisakifu pa'as roishan. Okay, that was one idea to include from yesterday. Now there's some short things. Let me just show you a pasuk in Yecheskel. I don't know if it has this Rashi here. I don't look to my version, but in the beginning of Yecheskel, Perek Hey, there is a very frightening nevuah. Hashem says to Yecheskel, I want you to shave off your beard. Very strange nevuah. We use something very quickly. V'ata, venadam. That's the signature expression of Yecheskel. Venadam, all over Yecheskel, venadam. Kach lucha cherev chada, a sharp razor. Tar haga lovim. A tar haga lovim. What is a tar haga lovim? This means heim has. It means a scissors or a shaver, okay, whatever it is, a trimmer. Tikochena loch vehavarta al roishcha v'al zikonecha. I want you to shave off your beard, and then Hashem says, "What should you do? I want you to v'lokach tulcha moizni mishkol v'chilakdom. Take all the hair, collect the hair, and divide the hair into three parts. 1/3 shlishis bu'ur tavir. I want you to burn." I want you to burn 1/3 of the year, besoch ear. I want you to go inside of Yerushalayim, inside the city, and with everyone should watch what you're doing in public and burn 1/3. Kimulois yimei hamotzar v'lokachtash hashalishis. Take another third and throw it on the ground. Take a sword and start chopping it up. These are symbolic actions that Yecheskel was told to do as an omen, as a sign, an oath, and a mofis for what's going to happen to Klal Yisrael. And the ashlishis, and the third, Tizra l'ruach, throw into the wind, the cherv arik achareihem. But then Hashem says, but even though I've told you from the third that I've told you to throw into the wind, I've told you v'lokachta misham me'at mispar, from the third that I've told you to throw into the wind, don't throw everything into the wind. Take a small amount of the tzarto oisam bichnofecha and put it in your pocket. Put it in your pocket and save it. Now, there appears that there once upon a time was a Rashi here, which does not appear, not in this edition of Yecheskel, not in the edition of Yecheskel that I had, a very good edition of Yecheskel, new Ma'or. It's not there either. But from this, there was once a Rashi. It could be it wasn't a Rashi, that's why it was taken out, an editor added. From here we learn a person should be very careful what he does with the hair that falls out from his beard. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this symbol, this example of the three of the hair of his beard, it represents Klal Yisrael. A third would be killed in the Churban. One third, a shlishis, will be killed, they go into fire. When the enemy would attack, when Nebuchadnezzar would attack, a third of the Jews would be killed. The other third would be killed by sword. It represents different. One third will be killed by fire, one third will be killed by sword, and one third would go into exile. And only a few would survive. And the few that would survive were the few hairs that Yechezkel was told to take and to put into his garment. So from this marshal in Yechezkel, we learn that hairs of a beard are symbolic of the Jewish people. That was the marshal. I mean, you can't get better than this. This is Mamish Psukim in Yecheskel. These are heavyweight Psukim. It's a very deep topic, very deep in you. What Hashem is telling Yecheskel to do with the beard of his hair. So it appears there was once upon a time a Rashi. I don't know where this Rashi is anymore. It doesn't appear here anywhere I could find. He writes, from here we learn that if a hair falls out of your beard, you should put it away. Put it away in a special place. Don't burn it. Don't throw it in the garbage. Because just like Yechezkel was told to take a few of those hairs and put those hairs in his garment, and those hairs he put in his garment represented the survivors of Klal Yisrael, from whom Klal Yisrael would be rebuilt and would be restored. That is what. That tells us that hairs have significance, and just be careful with your hair. That's a fascinating idea which comes right out of Yecheskel. Now, there's another interesting. What? So let's discuss it now. So Bisman says, what happens if you have a rebbe, you have a rav, and a hair falls out of his beard? What does he do with that hair? So first of all, they say Alpi Kabbalah, you should not burn it, and you should not necessarily. There are different opinions. Some had a tradition to put it in Geniza in their sforim. Now, I personally find it repulsive. You don't have a sefer. You go to yeshiva and you take a sefer off the shelf and you find it here. To me, it's repulsive. I don't know about you. Okay, but so there are many that are very against this. They hold that it's usur to do this because it's a bizoyon for the sefer. How dare you take your dirty hair from the beard and put it and leave it in the sefer? And indeed, many gedolim do not hold from this. Someone told me that he went to yeshiva with Rav Shmuel Kamnetsky's son, and Rav Shmuel Kamnetsky's son told his father whenever he blows it out of the sefer. He saw his father. Many Litvaks are not into this, and they explain because Bizman is that we don't have any sensitivity that the hair of the beard should have any sanctity. We're just ordinary people today, so it doesn't have any meaning. But traditionally, in ancient times, there were tzaddikim, very holy people. They would never touch their beard, even to put their hair, even it was kodesh. You don't touch it. Today you see people, they go and they stroke their beard and they pull their beard. They would never touch. The only time they would touch their beard is when they were learning a difficult Gemara, difficult Taisvis, and they had difficulty. And then there is this Kabbalistic inyan, you stroke your beard only, not ordinarily, only as a means to open up your mind as a school of some type of divine request to have inspiration to understand the passage that you're studying. What does that mean? So the only explanation I could say I could find is that on the beard there are 13 sections to the beard. I don't know how that works. I don't know, because we only have five corners. There are five corners you're not allowed to shave, but it's explained in various Sifrei Kabbalah. There are 13 sections to the beard. Torah is interpreted, is expounded with the Yud Gimel Midos of Shatara Nidreshes. That's what you say in Davening, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shloish, Esher Midos, Shatara Nidreshes. Kal Vachomer, Kal Prat, Kal Parachlat, the whole thing. So therefore the two go together. And when a person is studying Torah and he's having difficulty, he has to awaken the 13 principles of Shmidos Shatara Nidreshes, and that's connected somehow to the beard. So there was a custom among very great holy tzaddikim in previous generations to stroke their beard, and that awakened the Yud Gil Mishatar Nidreshes. Mimela, if a hair falls out at some point in time during learning, it belongs in the Sefer, because the two go together. The Sefer is Torah, and the beard represents the Yud Gimel Midos Shatara Nidreshes. The hair of the beard belongs together with the Sefer. This indeed was a custom, and there are stories, legends, are they true, they're not true, I have no idea, about the hair that was found of the Baal Shem Tov that was found in his Sefer HaZohar. The Baal Shem Tov, obviously, he learned Sefer HaZohar. He had his privates, which is worth probably $1 billion, if they have it today. Maybe they even do have it today, I don't know. His private Sefer HaZohar, and he learned, and there were hairs in that fell out from his beard that he put in Geniza in his Sefer HaZohar. And there are legends, these true, not true, these old Bible legends, that when Rachman, the son of person, was sick and ill and needed a Yeshua, or women that were pregnant, different stories, they would go to a person that had the Sefer from the Baal Shem Tov. They would open it up, and they would be mispalel while it was open or it was present, because somehow it was a connection to the Baal Shem Tov. And also they say the thing of Divrei Chaim, sons of Divrei Chaim. They say the same thing. Also they did things like this. Okay, these are true, not true, I don't know, but there is such thing. Again, Bezman Hazeh, many of the Gedolei HaPoskim can tell us that we're not on Madrega, that our hairs of the beard should have certain sanctity, Gesundheit, and Adaraba, it's not necessarily a nice thing to do to take the hair of the beard and put in the Sefer. It's a zilzul for the Sefer, and the best thing to do is just forget about it, put in the garbage, don't even think about it. If you want to be so machmed, so you can put in Gediza, the stipler, I think they say the stipler was machmed, the stipler was a kodosh, it was Yotze, it was when, not so long ago. He went and he put his here, the hairs of his beard in Geniza. Okay, there is another very thing which caught my attention, is that by tzaddikim from the previous generations, it was understood that at the time of Yitzias Neshama, when they would leave this world, they would take their right hand, where it was a natural reflex, and they would touch their beard. I never heard this before. By tzad, and in fact, they would instruct their children, or Hasidim, that when these children see their parent put their hand, their right hand on their beard at the time of Yitzias Neshama, that's when they should say the psukim of Yitzias Neshama, of Shema Yisrael, and all of those things which go along with the time of Yitzias Neshama. Now, as far as we mentioned, touching beard, okay, they're all different, okay, that's pretty much, I'm just like, have I got everything over here? Okay, yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
I'm just as an aside.
Yeah.
You mentioned Tzadik.
Yeah.
So it was an article online yesterday about holding the Scrabble National Tournament that's taking place, and he said one of the better words used, they mentioned three or four words, one of them was Tzadik.
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 Interesting.
And he spelled it. I was wondering how he spelled it. Z-A-D-D-I-C-K. Was used in the
Scrabble.
It was in the dictionary, but the, so
and it means
like Scrabble, you could use
it. And it means a righteous
Jew. It was accepted.
Interesting.
Yeah, it said, yeah, righteous Jew, yeah.
Okay, let's.